Fanning, weekends on 2FM.
Good man yourself, Anton. How's it going?
It's flying, Dave. August Tussa.
Tussa good. Tom May Fain good. Sha.
Anoa.
That too. Sarwa.
Anyway. Big religious news.
Big religious news. What could that
be? A pair of nuns who have been found in breach of COVID guidelines for travelling from Cork to Dublin to take part in an exorcism of the doll.
Whoa. Okay, First things first. Were they invited by any particular TD or anything, no?
These strike me as the type of nuns who don't need no stinking invite. They paddle their own canoe, they carve their own furrow. They have some previous in the public domain because they were involved in a planning dispute in West Cork where, I don't know, they constructed some building that didn't have planning permission and yada, yada, yada. They are the Carmelite Sisters of the Holy Faith of Jesus. Sorry, the Holy Face of Jesus. The Holy Face of Jesus.
The what?
The Carmelite Sisters of the Holy Face of Jesus are sick of all this modern, woke, huggy, kumbaya, marshmallow roasting, soft liberal Catholicism that has taken over Ireland. They do things the way things are meant to be done, which means getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and chanting Latin for an hour and a half. If, and not making this up, if you read their website, they will tell you that the high point of a Carmelite sister's day is when she emerges from her cell, their description, not mine, at 8 a.m., having gone through 4 hours of meditation, to get involved in a Latin Mass.
Well, I know the Latin Mass. I was an altar boy. I did a bit of Latin Mass. Intrigue ad altare deum or something. A deum creativicat juventutum meum. Ah, yes! Woo-hoo.
My
been
God!
A while.
Well, this is, you're going to love this because obviously the exorcism got all the attention because, you know, the exorcism is box office and that's what everybody focuses on. Yeah. But in this story, I don't think it's the most important thing because when they finished exorcising the doll, they then went to Herbert Park to have an owl mass. And the person who said the mass was a man by the name of Father Giacomo Bellini of the splinter group, the Society of St. Pius Resistance. Now,
so wait a minute, so an exorcism is an exorcism and they wanted to rid Ireland of the English Mass?
Yes, two separate things. They wanted to rid the doll of Satan, which is going to be a tricky
challenge. Whoa, come back on that. They wanted what?
To rid the doll of Satan.
Right. And is that the minister for something or who is Satan?
No, he might just be hanging around. You never know.
God is everywhere, so Satan is everywhere.
Correct. He's the Spanish Inquisition, Dave. His chief weapon is surprise. Yeah, right. You got to watch for him.
Five. All right, okay.
Yes, so they got rid of Satan and then they got rid of the Mass. And the end result of all of this is instead of being celebrated for standing up against the Anglicanization of the Mass and for standing up against Satan, they have been criticised for these two nuns breaking the COVID guidelines.
Yeah. All right, okay.
In other news.
Whoa, yeah, okay. Any more stories?
I got a religious one. Hundreds of coffins have fallen into the sea in Italy.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. All right, yeah. They fell off a cliff, yeah.
Yeah, a landslide on the near the coast in Genoa caused a collapse of a cemetery and something to the order of 200 coffins slid out of the cemetery and into the sea.
Wow.
Nobody was hurt, largely because they were all dead. Right. But even the people who were there who were working around the cemetery said that they saw fissures in the rock face and thought now might be a good time to scarper, and post scarpering a lot of the cemetery fell in the sea.
And did they get any of the coffins back?
Well, they don't seem overly rushed. They say that the local harbour authority has cordoned off the area to stop the coffins floating away. But they said the recovery will, quote, depend on the sea in the coming days. So they seem to be kind of hanging around saying, you know, if they come back, fine. What are you going to do?
If they come back from the dead. Right. Very good.
Do you ever feel that the work you do about the house is not properly recognised, Dave?
God, no. I mean, my work around the house is perfectly recognised. It's in the prenup, for God's sake.
Is it? Well, have you put a specific monetary value on it?
No, I haven't, because, like, you know, I just know that if anything goes wrong, I keep the helicopter, the art gallery, the schooner, and the pet's dote. But, you know, like, just as long as I do the cleaning, I'm laughing, you know.
Well, the time has come when we need to begin to look at household activities as tangible financial contributions to the marriage. This is following a court case in China, which has ordered a man to pay his wife as part of the divorce for the housework that she did over the period of their marriage, which she contributed for free at the time. But when you begin to dissolve the assets, you say, well, the reason that house is clean is because of, in this instance, 5,000 euros worth of work that the woman did during their marriage, and he had to pay her for all the housework. So if you're looking at your spouse this afternoon, you're thinking, I'm not sure that I'm fully committed to this relationship. The lesson is get scrubbing the house quick, because that'll at least eat back into some of the money you might owe.
How many years worth did she get paid for, and how much did she get paid?
He reads fast. 5 years. 5 years of unpaid labour. It's part of a new civil code. And in this instance, they had been married for 5 years. She had done the housework. Now, the genders in this instance are, I would argue, a side issue. It doesn't matter whether it was the man who was doing the housework or the woman. In this instance, it was the woman who was doing the housework, was doing it unpaid. And he now had to cough up $5,000
wow.
to pay her off. Okay. In other news, there is good political news emerging from the US.
Oh, great. What is it?
Right. Well, it's the kind of news that at first glance you look at and you think, ridiculous. But
it's
not
about Ted Cruz's dog, is it? No? Snowflake.
Poor Ted Cruz's dog. Yeah. Although, then again, if you're Ted Cruz's dog, what's worse, being left alone or having Ted Cruz come back?
Well, he had guys, like, he paid money from sort of his slush fund to pay for a guy to mind his dog while he was away.
Did he? So the Gaga's dogs have been found too, while we're on the topic
of dogs.
I saw
that. They have been, indeed. Yeah, and the guy's doing very well in hospital, which is a good story. I wondered,
did you notice?
Pay the $500,000.
In a lot of the coverage of that internationally, the headlines all read, Lady Gaga's dogs abducted, walker shot in chest.
Walker shot four times, yeah.
Yeah, lead with the human who's been shot, not the dogs who've been stolen.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, important political news.
Yes.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson could be, and I quote, the uniter that people are looking for if he ran for president. This is according to his old WWE pal, The Undertaker.
There's been talk about him in politics a few times. He's such a loved person, isn't he? He's the one that he's in the top three for Twitter around the world or something. I don't know who the first two are, but he's in the top three, I think.
Your woman, Katy Perry, she's up there.
Really? Is she number one? Yeah.
Okay. She's up there. Okay. The thing with Dwayne The Rock, Free Brian, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He's amazing. He's just amazing. This is a witty, charismatic, hardworking, charming man who has made a massive success out of himself in two separate fields. A bit like Schwarzenegger with the bodybuilding and then with the movies. He is the wrestling and then with the movies.
Yeah.
And if he ran for the Republicans, he couldn't be any worse. Just couldn't be any worse.
He wouldn't run for the... He was very democratic. He was very anti-Trump. He voted Obama, didn't he, and all that kind of thing. He didn't vote 4 years ago. Sure, he said that in an interview recently.
Yes, but we got to get him into that side. He's got to be a sleeper agent. He goes in Republican and then gently converts them. He walks the QAnon people back off the cliff edge.
He's the Manchurian candidate.
He is. The Undertaker went on to say that he's so charming. He's so witty. I think he can be the uniter that people are looking for. I know that he has the charisma. Maybe all it would take would be one eyebrow. Raise the eyebrow.
Absolutely.
Look at the right.
Do you know what a funny thing about him? He's from Samoa. There's some Irish background with a father or a father's father or a father's mother or something.
Is there?
Yeah, somewhere along the way. I'm not too sure exactly what it is.
It has to be said, we were great at the old procreation.
Listen, we were great at the old... Listen, haven't you got a dog that's Irish? Sure, that means you can play for the FAI soccer team.
Yeah. But we were, like, of all of the things that we did, I mean, obviously there was a lot of unfortunate export due to subjugation and famine. But other than that, putting that to one side, we did procreation very well, Dave.
We did. And the famine thing made 50, 60, 70 million Americans or something?
Exactly. Because we didn't stop it once we exported. Still at it like rabbits.
By the way, what are they asking The Rock to do? To become a senator? To become
a governor? No, they're asking... They asked him in an interview with USA Today, would he consider a possible presidential run? And he said he would consider a presidential run in the future if that's what the people wanted. And let us keep in mind... When Ronald Reagan, look at Back to the Future, Ronald Reagan, the actor, when he originally ran, everybody went, not a chance. When Trump ran...
Hold on a second. You said, look at Back to the Future, why did you say that? Is that because that great line that Christopher Lloyd says, like, what? Ronald Reagan?
Exactly.
I suppose Mickey Rooney is the treasury, secondary treasury, yeah.
I can't believe you know the second line to that out of Back to the Future.
It was funny, because the second line was the basic, I suppose Mickey Rooney is the secondary of the treasury. And he goes, no, forget it.
How do you stand on carbonara?
And by the way, Jesse Ventura, don't forget, he was...
Minnesota.
Really, yeah, right. And he was the body, as he was called, as opposed to Elle McPherson. And he became a big whatever he was. Yep.
The Predator, only movie in history to have two state governors.
Sorry, The Predator is the only movie in history to have two state governors. And who were the two state governors?
Arnold Schwarzenegger, subsequent governor of California. Jesse the Body Ventura, subsequent governor of Minnesota.
He was in that, was he? All right. Oh, very good, yeah. There's a bunch of others too. Wycliffe Jean went up for elections in Haiti, didn't he? Or he was going to. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go on.
Did he?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to the Fugees?
The Fugees? I don't know, but I'd say, the Fugees.
You might know about this. I was thinking
about
this the other day.
Yesterday, actually, on the radio. Go on.
What happened to Natalie Merchant?
Yeah, 10,000 Maniacs.
Yeah, because she left the Maniacs and went out on her own, and she had this giant hit, which was Tiger Lily, and then she just sort of went poof and disappeared. Yeah.
Do you know what I love about Tiger Lily, actually? That thing? The print on the cover of the album. It's like a kind of an invite to like the Buckingham Palace kind of thing, the way it's done. I don't know why I said that. I always loved the cover. I'll tell you, the funny thing is, she was in here once for an interview, and I gave out about her, she didn't want to walk across the field because she might walk on a snail or something like that or whatever. And then the NME 2 weeks later says, no, I was very upset by an Irish interviewer.
You annoyed Natalie Merchant. I love you all the more, Dave. Carbonara.
Carbonara, yeah, okay. What about
what's in it?
Italian sausage.
Oh Jesus, Dave! No. Dave! Oh Dave!
Okay.
Well, let's ignore the
mortadella.
Do you mean mortadella, the Italian salami?
That's the one. Yeah. Or is it pecorino or pezzino, whatever?
Now you're talking. The question is: it pecorino or parmigiana? Oh, it's tricky stuff, Dave.
I don't know.
What's definitely not in it is tomatoes. And the New York Times has apparently angered Italians by creating smoky tomato carbonara.
Right.
And Italian chefs have taken to social media to say, "Stop this madness!" And they've said the notion of putting tomatoes in a carbonara is like putting salami in a cappuccino or mortadella in sushi.
Ah,
okay, it's fine, but let's gonna call it sushi.
Right. Well, I mean, they could have the ad, like, you know, it's carbonara only better or carbonara only different.
See, this is the thing. Like, you have to get over it.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, exactly. Who cares? Somebody puts a tomato on a thing. Like, call it something else.
The biggest one of all, and I'm not a great pizza person at all, but I mean, like, if I get a pizza, I want pineapple on it. And that's supposed to be just sacrilege.
What?
I like pineapple on a pizza.
Ah, Dave.
I don't think you like pizza, though, so.
Ah, Dave. Do you know, like, this is like when you're having one of those, everybody's joking about, you don't want to be too politically correct, and then somebody goes all racist, and you just have to go home.
Yeah.
You can't have pineapple on a pizza, Dave.
Right, well, I can.
Well, anyway, if you get bored at some stage, you should watch. There is another YouTube channel dedicated to Italian chefs watching other people cook Italian food. It's highly entertaining. I have never
YouTube
seen three people.
It's just the rabbit hole. It's just
amazing.
Okay. And you look at things and you say, okay, this one's only 8 minutes. Okay, I'll watch that, whatever. And you go by time now because there's so many interesting things there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Why am I watching a man fiberglassing transom knees onto a boat? I should have been asleep 8 hours ago. In other news, I have a follow-up on Gwyneth.
On Gwyneth. Oh, yeah, you've been talking Gwyneth Paltrow for the last couple of weeks, actually, yeah.
I have not been talking about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Well, sorry.
I mentioned her in
passant.
A news.
Right.
Indeed.
Right.
Entree new. Inter alia. We mentioned Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
Because Gwyneth Paltrow is reportedly suffering long COVID by her own description.
Right.
She says that she acquired COVID back in January of last year, which is really in on the ground floor, that whole disease epidemic thing. Like, she was an early adopter of it.
Yeah.
And she has recovered, but she's taking on all of the legacy problems that long COVID has given her by eating broccoli and lighting candles and whatever, rubbing gravel in her hair, whatever she wants to do. But what's interesting is the NHS has had a go. NHS England's Professor Stephen Powis has said that some of Gwyneth's methods were really not the solutions that they would recommend. And he says serious science should be applied. Like the virus, misinformation carries across borders and it mutates and it evolves. So I think YouTube and other social media platforms have a real responsibility here. And the kind of stuff that Gwyneth is flogging should be stopped.
So you think they should stick with Trump's toilet duck then? That would be safer, would it?
Well, I mean, obviously that if the President of the United States says it works, who are we to question it? But what she has been recommending is doing an infrared sauna as often as she can.
Right.
And living a ketogenic and plant-based diet.
This isn't anything to do. Some bloke wrote a book and she's saying it's great. Is that what I saw this week? Is that what she's talking about? Is it from his book?
She got in touch with some lad who does quasi-medical snake oil, have a stretch, eat some broccoli, do yoga. But I don't know if he's put it to a book.
Well, he has. Well, there's a picture of her in the paper holding up a book, and it says who it's by, something like that. And it turns out he's not a doctor.
No, I'm stunned. I'm amazed. I assume the FDA signed off on everything to do
with
poop.
Where do we go with this? Is this the intermittent eating or fasting or whatever it's called?
No, the ketogenic, I think, means that you entirely avoid carbohydrates. And in theory, your body is meant to go into some kind of process where it begins to burn ketones. And I think if you're really doing it well, your breath begins to smell like nail varnish remover. But you have to like fully commit to it. And it has led to this whole paleo diet guff where you sort of you have to chew on live walruses and all that stuff.
It is the it's the intuitive eating and the intermittent fasting and the wardrobe malfunction and the conscious uncoupling and all that kind of stuff.
All of that. The modern world, Dave. It's a crazy place. Can I leave you with a final piece of advice?
Yep.
You know the way you're partial to a bit of occasional insurance fraud? Well, to just give you some guidance for the next one.
Yeah.
Police in Chicago are reportedly prosecuting a man for setting his own car on fire in attempt to claim the insurance. And the critical piece of evidence on which they are relying is when they got a warrant to search his house after the vehicle was found ablaze. The last search in his Google history was how to set your car on fire and make it look like an accident.
guilty as charged, Your Honor.
Internet right. cafes, Dave. That's where to research crime.
Anton, good man yourself. Thank you very much indeed. Good luck.
Bye.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.